I'll pass to April, who will walk you through the slides that you've got. So this is our second agenda consultation, as you heard yesterday. It's open for comment until the end of the year. And as I tried to say yesterday in the technical update, and I wanted to say it yesterday, so if I say it a second time, it kind of hits home, I guess. What's really important, and part of the feedback we had at the Advisory Council over recent months has been ask lots of open questions and don't presume anything, if you like. I think the reality is that we have got a large research programme which we need to think very hard about prioritising. And I think the board will need to make some tough decisions once we get all the feedback in. So that's would be my personal request for how when you're thinking about this topic, really think about the prioritisation. But without any further ado, I shall pass to April, who will walk you through the detail.
What we'd like to do, as Hugh said, is to give you a brief overview of where we are on the 2015 agenda consultation process. We'll then move into breakout groups for an hour and a half, and there's a few minutes at the end of this session so that if you've got any questions you want to ask before we go to the breakout groups, there'll be plenty of time for that. In the 2015 agenda consultation request for views, we're only asking questions about the composition and the balance and the priorities of the ISB's work plan. We sought your advice in June, and you noted then that there's a very clear link between the 2015 agenda consultation and the trustees' review of strategy and structure and effectiveness, and you discussed that yesterday. And because those two consultation processes are linked, they've been out for comment for an overlapping period. The trustees' review is out for comment until 30th of November, and the agenda consultation until 31st of December. Now, we conducted our first agenda consultation in 2011, and at that time, we received feedback from a wide range of stakeholders. We had 243 comment letters, which is a very good response, and more than 80 outreach meetings. And as a result of that consultation, the ISB agreed that its work plan would focus on a small number of major topics which were then in progress. That's financial instruments, revenue recognition, leases, and insurance contract. Financial instruments and revenue recognition are done. Leases is very near completion. And insurance contracts are making good progress. We were also asked to concentrate on the conceptual framework, which many respondents identified as fundamental to IFRS. The ED should be released early next year, be re-deliberated early next year, with a view to finalization the year after. And the maintenance and implementation issues, including post-implementation reviews. We were asked to put a lot more effort into maintenance and implementation issues. Part of that we've done with the help of the IFRS Interpretations Committee, who meet regularly with the ISB, and who are developing a much more active way of taking part in that maintenance. And we also agreed after the 2011 consultation that we would look at the way that we develop standards, and we would base our standard setting process on upfront research. Now, when we met you in June, you emphasized to us the importance of being clear about how the agenda setting process is linked with the new research-led approach. And we gave a lot of thought to that when we were developing the RFB. In the request for the request reviews, we've set out a methodology for evidence-informed research, how it should affect our research program, and how that program should support the rest of our technical activities. And we think that making the standard setting process clear will give more transparency about what criteria are used in deciding what goes on the work plan and what the relative priorities of each of the different projects should be. There are three main categories of our activity. In the research phase, we analyze possible financial reporting problems by collecting evidence on the nature and extent of the issue, and we assess the potential ways in which IFRS can be improved or gaps remedied. Standard-setting projects develop a new standard or substantially amend an existing one, and implementation projects are those in which we fine-tune or substantially amend to deal with practical problems or inconsistent application. And in June, you told us that the articulation of the standard-setting process would be key to the success of the request reviews, and we've tried to do that in this diagram. Agenda requests can come from a variety of sources. There was the 2011 agenda consultation and this one. Submissions to the Interpretations Committee are a major source of input. And PIR is also input to the process. We've conducted two post-implementation reviews, IFRS 8, where the boards are considering narrow scope amendments to the operating segment standard, and also IFRS 3, business combinations, where we've taken two research projects onto our agenda as a result of that. We're also planning to do post-implementation reviews on IFRS 10, 11, 12, and 13 next year. Now, there's a relatively low hurdle for adding research projects to the research agenda. And on the research agenda, we analyze the problem and we test the possible solutions. There's a higher hurdle for taking something from research onto the standards level program, and that's indicated by the gray line, which is on the diagram. Now, I think we've been clear from the beginning that not all research projects will necessarily lead to a standards level project. Some of the factors that the ISB considers when adding a project to the standard level program are the importance of the matter to investors and other users of the financial statements, the types of entities that are affected by the type of transaction, and how persuasive or acute the matter is. And the third leg of our activities is the maintenance of IFRS, and that's often triggered by our becoming aware of implementation issues, and those are especially those which have been submitted to the Interpretations Committee. The request for use itself asks 8 questions. First question is about the balance of the ISB's project. The second and third about the composition and priority of the research program. The fourth asks people to comment on the work plan for major projects. That's a very open question. The fifth question is on maintenance and implementation projects. The sixth is on the level of change. 7 is an open question on the work plan itself, and question 8 is on the frequency of agenda consultations. Now, in the breakout sessions, we'll ask you to consider only questions 1, 5, and 6, and they've been covered in paper 5B, and there'll be a staff member at each group who can also answer any questions when we do the breakout groups. So looking very quickly at the agenda questions that aren't covered by the breakout groups, questions 2 and 3 are about the research program. Now, there are nearly 20 projects on the research program, and the sort of questions we're asking are whether any research project should be added or removed from the program, how each project should be prioritized with respect to its relative importance and urgency, and what factors were used in ascribing the priorities. And it's, I think, the factors used to ascribe the priorities which will be interesting output from this process. In 2011, when we did the first agenda consultation and we were assessing the feedback we received, we thought it would be good if we could develop some sort of matrix of criteria against which the priorities could be scored. And we thought internally about things like the breadth of the problem, how deep the problem was, and whether there was any way that we could actually do that on a sort of systematic basis. And it proves to be quite difficult because there are different weightings that are given to each of the drivers. And earlier this year, you may recall, we looked at some of the drivers that might be appropriate for taking on a topic. And they were things like strengthening the relevance of IFRS, which is applicable, say, to the disclosure initiative, or whether it fills a gap like rate regulated, or whether it improved consistency like revenue. We're trying a number of ways to consult about the priorities with respect to the research project. We've launched an online survey that's aimed principally at investors but is open to all. That was launched by Pat Finnegan and Sandy Peters from the CFA Institute doing a podcast on the subject. And Pat's comments have also gone out as an investor's perspective. We surveyed the Interpretations Committee about their preferences, and those views are reflected in a draft comment letter which will be going to the public meeting of the Interpretations Committee in November. We also asked some of you if you'd like to take part in a straw poll. Now, the data from that is not unduly scientific or particularly robust, but we thought it'd be interesting just for you to have a look at that. 15 members of the Advisory Council responded, and if you look at the top subject, which was goodwill and amortisation. Now, we've had feedback that goodwill is particularly interesting in some jurisdictions. There's been some concern from investors that there's a lot of goodwill in people's balance sheet and they don't understand it. Disclosure principles. People think that disclosure principles, there are a number of factors that we can discuss later this afternoon about why people have selected these topics. You'll see that financial instruments with the characteristics of equity was very important for IFRIC and also important for the first analysis we've done of the online survey from investors. And this afternoon, if we have time after the end of the discussion from the feedback group, we'll also have a look at what your views are of the priorities of the individual projects. Now, the important thing, obviously, to remember is that this consultation isn't a beauty contest. So when we assess the comments that we've received on the priorities, whether they're in comment letters or outreach or surveys, we'll also be looking at the rationale for the priority nominations and what factors led to the respondent assigning the rankings, especially when those items are ranked as high or low. As I said, we asked a question on the major projects that are listed in the request for views. It's a very open question. Do you have comments on the ISB's work plan for the major projects at 31st of July? Question 7 also is a very open question. Just do you have any other comments on the ISB's work plan? Question 8 is a bit more interesting. We're required to carry out a public agenda consultation every 3 years, but it usually takes longer than 3 years to complete a major research project and then the subsequent major standards level project. So consequently, many of the major projects that form the basis of the discussion for one agenda consultation will still be on the work plan 3 years later. When we've talked to people about this, some think that every 3 years is excessive. Others think that a 3-yearly process provides timely input. So one of the questions that we've asked in the request for views is whether or not that should change. The ISB has proposed that a 5-year interval between agenda consultations is more appropriate than the 3-year interval. And we're asking people in the request for views what people think of that proposition. Now, what's next? We published the request for views in August. The consultation period will end 31st of December. The ISB will re-deliberate and discuss the comments received at public meetings in Q1. We'll also take into account also the overlap with the trustees' review. There will be some comments in common and some input in common, and that will feed into both the trustees' review and also our review. And so we hope perhaps summer of next year that we'll actually be in a position to finalise the board's feedback statements. Now, at this stage, does anyone have any comments on the request for views or the approach that we're taking in this in general? Any comments or any suggestions?
April, I might start by actually asking something, and I thought your slide of the different priorities from, and as you say, it's not a beauty contest and it's not a arguably a scientific survey, but in terms of the different responses from the different types of groups, made me think what criteria, or have you thought about the criteria that you're actually going to use to prioritise? Because I look at, for instance, the Interpretations Committee versus the people from this group, and arguably, having sat on the Interpretations Committee, I think I'm probably allowed to say this, the Interpretations Committee is made up of real technical accountants who want technical answers to things, as opposed to from a broad investor, user, preparer perspective who just wants something sorted out. And I thought really interesting that difference between some of those like goodwill and disclosure principles coming from this group and not on the Interpretation Committee. And it's how you're going to create those criteria. Do you want to get the technical answers or do you want to get business answers?
And I think that's going to probably be the really heavy lifting in analysing and understanding what the messages are. My feeling is that the Interpretations Committee, as you say, they base their responses really on the level of queries that they get in a day-to-day doing their job.
Technical accounting queries.
Right. And so the sort of comments we got on the importance of financial instruments with the characteristic of equity is that it was difficult for them from a technical point of view to identify a clear and consistent classification principle in IAS 32, particularly for more sophisticated, newer types of instruments like hybrids. Whereas I think if you look at the online survey that was completed by investors, and we've only had a few completed so far, they thought that financial instruments with the characteristic of equity is really important because it's such a fundamental distinction, whether it's in liability, whether it's in equity. So I think that the reason and the priorities will vary between different groups.
But then we've got to determine which ones are most important for, and I'm going to use that word again, us to remain relevant.
Yeah.
One of the things that's come out in a lot of our outreach frequently is the fact that although we talk about the factors one might take into account in prioritising, we don't really give a strategic framework to think about that prioritisation. And I must say, I think it's something we should consider doing when we do the feedback statement, because I think it'll be quite hard to piece everything together if we don't do that.
Sorry, I asked my question comment. Does anyone else have any questions or comments of April? Sorry, Jake, go for it.
Thank you. Hugh, just to your point you made just there, one of the things that occurred to me when I read the request for views is whether the market capitalisation of those companies affected by the issue should actually be a factor that the board take into account when prioritising projects.
Could be, yes.
Good point. So something just to add to the list of things to consider and as you say, to provide in the feedback as to how you have done it. Anybody else? No? Okay. April, carry on. Oh, sorry. Francoise.
Thank you. I was feeling like following up on the comment you made with the contrast that you identified indeed between the views of this group compared to the Interpretation Committee views. And maybe this is pointing to a possibility of handling different subjects in different manners. So obviously the Interpretation Committee is in a right position to identify areas where, in fact, the existing standards are in need for improvement, and also maybe be more easily satisfied when, for example, the disclosure principles is already a very major project on the agenda and not make a recommendation that it is when it has already been decided that it is. And probably part of the discussion around this outcome of the request for views should be whether every source of identification of a problem should necessarily go through a research project, or whether you would identify what is the maintenance, in fact, of existing standards in opposition to, or in contrast with, I mean, issues that need a bigger overhaul. And maybe you would start by trying to maintain and eventually go to overhaul in the next stage if you can't be satisfied that maintenance efforts would be just satisfactory.
Another thing to, and I mean, yes, this is where the rubber hits the road, to use that expression in terms of actually determining what are the key priorities that you're going to look at. But that's something to consider. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Ernesto, is it? Yes.
Yes. Just regarding relevance, a question on ratings agencies. For the, fixed income with the characteristic of equity, in the end, I mean, investors and preparers are kind of bound by what the rating agencies think and how they treat them. So I was just wondering if they are part of the survey, if there's any sort of discussion with rating agencies on this regard.
April, do you
want to? We've tried with the investor engagement team to engage specifically with people. We haven't actually had a response back from rating agencies for any sort of contact with them. We had an investors meeting this morning, actually, at which we were requested to go back and specifically talk to people in more detail. We sent out an email about the investor survey to everyone, but of course not everyone has replied. So we're hoping that if we can arrange a series of conference calls with people, that individual entities, that the analysts within those individual entities, while we're actually on the call, could be persuaded to actually complete the survey or to give us our feedback. And I think perhaps the most informative information is what the top three priorities they have are and what the reasoning behind that prioritization would be.
Okay, April?
I think it just remains to say that we're about to split up into breakout groups. There's a piece of paper at each of your places to tell you which breakout group you're in. In the breakout sessions, we've asked you to look at three questions from the request for views. The first question, which is on page 3 of paper 5B, looks at the five main areas of the technical projects. That's the research program, the standards level program, the conceptual framework, disclosure initiative and maintenance, and ask you what factors you think the ISB should consider when assessing how they allocate resources to that. The second question from the request for views is on maintenance and implementation. Are we providing the right mix of support for people in that area, and is it enough? And then the third question is the level of change. Now, sometimes we're told that we're making too many changes. Change is very difficult for people to cope with. And so we're asking a variety of people whether the work plan as a whole is delivering change at the right pace, and also whether we're giving the right detail of guidance in that change. So if you'd like to go into your breakout groups, you have, I think, an hour and a half in the breakout groups.
They're doing all three questions.
They're doing all three questions. We have, I think, is it an hour and a half for that discussion?
Yep.
And then we'll come back in the afternoon and we'll have an open discussion of it then.
And we intend, I think still, unless anyone disagrees with me, that actually we talk about each question in turn this afternoon, so that the breakout group, so if you're doing some slides or something, if you can separate them, if that, is that going to work, Ada, in terms of
Okay,
all right, so that we're going to deal with the questions around each group separately, as opposed to each group reporting back on the three questions. So just think about that as you're just preparing your conclusions. So, yeah, if we now want to go into the breakout groups and have some more robust discussion. Thank you. And I should probably, there are a number of people, the room is now full, so fog has obviously cleared, so welcome to those who weren't able to be with us yesterday, and you did miss a good day. However, I'm sure that you will add your energy to today. Thank you.